beautiful people. This is Kirk Franklin.
What's up, I'm Beyonce.
What's up, it's the Kid 50 Cent.
Stay tuned for more conversations with Allison J.
Brought to you by Naima Productions, LLC.
This is Conversations with Allison J. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Conversations with Allison J., The Journey to Here. Today, as always, we have another captivating and thought-provoking topic and guest. Here's your host, Allison J.
Welcome to another episode of Allison J. I'm your host, Allison J. And today, I have the honor and privilege of welcoming a very dear friend of mine, Clarissa. 8 years ago at a company that I used to work there, and Clarissa is still there. And she's just been a support and just an angel to me. And one of the reasons that I wanted to speak to Clarissa is because at the time of meeting, Clarissa had a full-time job, a part-time working on her own business part-time, full-time in ministry as a pastor's wife, a mother, a grandmother, you name it. I firmly believe that when Clarissa gets undressed in the evenings, there's a big S on her chest for Superwoman, because I don't know how she does it. So Clarissa, welcome to Conversations with Allison J. It's a pleasure to have you.
Hello, Allison. It's a pleasure to be here, and I am thankful and honored that you thought it not robbery to include me in this podcast. So I am just really proud of you and all that you're doing with the J Group and this podcast. So, you know, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So Clarissa, one of the things that I'm very passionate about is learning and listening to the journey that people have been on, because people see the end result and they just think, oh, she makes it look so easy, or she's got it all, but they don't stop to look at, there was a journey and a process to get to today. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey to today.
I started out initially as a teacher, I guess, about many years ago. I won't say how many years ago, but I started out teaching. Because I had just recently divorced, moved to New Orleans, and I had 3 small children. So I decided to be on their schedule, I would start teaching. Had no really desire to teach, but I did it. I did it for 14 years. And once my children got older and out of school, I decided, well, now it's time for me to do what I feel on my heart that God is calling me to do, which is fulfill my calling in life. Mm-hmm. And with that, I stepped out on faith and quit my teaching job with a very steady salary, and I became a commercial real estate broker, which means I was just working on commission only, and got a lot of flack from friends and family and my spouse initially, but I did it. I've been doing commercial real estate now for 13 and a half years, and it's been a blessing. But in addition to that, I always have loved music, so I wanted to be in the music industry, and I'm a musician, but not a professional musician, so I started Naima Productions, which is a artist management and booking agency. So I started that actually when I lived in New Orleans in 1992, and I've been doing it off and on, since then.
Okay, so I mentioned that you got divorced, 3 small children, and went into teaching. So what subject did you teach, and how easy was it for you to do that?
I started out teaching history. I always taught high school. So I always taught high school. I taught in New Orleans. I taught in Montgomery County, Maryland, and in Miami. So over the 14-year career of teaching. And during that time, I taught history as well as computer classes and business classes, like entrepreneurship and things like that.
So you've always had that entrepreneurial spirit in you when you were teaching it.
Always. And let me just say, my mother was a teacher, so I grew up around teachers, so it was kind of a natural thing for me to do. And I've always, whenever I worked in ministry at my church, I was always involved with either Sunday school or vacation Bible school. So, you know, teaching, it comes natural for me.
And so let me ask you, and I want to get, if you don't mind, get a little bit personal here. So you said that you went through a divorce and you had three small children. So talk to me about that part of your journey and what did you face?
Well, let me just say, I was in Louisville, Kentucky at that time. And when my first husband and I divorced, when I knew we were getting a divorce, headed toward divorce, I decided that I wanted to leave Louisville. And that's something that had been in my spirit ever since I was a child. I knew, even though I was born there, that that was not my home. I knew I needed to leave. I wanted to leave ever since I was, like I said, a child. So that I saw as an opportunity, a perfect opportunity to move away. So I decided it was either going to be Washington, D.C. or New Orleans because I had a sister in both cities. Okay. And so, you know, it ended up being New Orleans, which I'm glad. I think, you know, we fared well there. And eventually I did move to Washington, D.C. area, but started out in New Orleans. So it was a tough journey being with three small children. My children were in the first grade, second grade, and fifth grade when we moved there. So it was truly that experience truly brought me closer to God. You know, I've always had a relationship with God. I've always gone to church, but being, you know, a single mother with three small children, and at that time I was working as a assistant manager for Ann Taylor, and which didn't last very long, but anyway, I had a job when I moved there, so it was very, very challenging because it was just something I had not experienced previously.
Mm. Wow. And what was the effects of the divorce and the move on your children?
They, of course, it was very tough for them initially. When we first told them that we were getting a divorce, they were very upset, but I think really too small to really, really understand what was going on. Until we actually physically moved to New Orleans. So when we moved there, you know, it was tough initially for them going to a new school, you know, making new friends, but then we stayed there almost 10 years. So I think we now consider that home more than anything else because they grew up there. So they have they have roots there. And fortunately my sister was there and her husband and his family made us feel welcome. So we had a support group when we got there. So we didn't know anyone at all. We knew my sister was there, her in-law family, I call them. So they became like embraced us and you know, invited us to any and all events. So we had, you know, family dinners with them and holidays with them and, you know, outings with them. So it made the transition a lot easier for my children to have a built-in support group there.
And so was it from there to Miami?
No, it was from New Orleans to Washington, well, to actually Maryland, right outside of Washington. So I moved to Maryland, the Metro DC area, I guess, in 1998, and, you know, started teaching there as well. So, and, you know, in Maryland is where I met my second husband, who was a pastor at that time. And so, you know, I was there for about 5 years. We were there for about 5 years, and then we moved to, he got a church in Miami, so we moved to Miami and been in Miami since 2002.
Okay, and that's where I met you, in Miami.
Yes.
Right, so yes, okay. So talk to me about being a pastor's wife, because to me, that's one of the things where it's like, Lord, that's way too big of a job and a responsibility. I don't know if that's something I could ever, but you have such a beautiful spirit, Clarissa. Honestly, you really do, just patient and tolerant. Whereas me, I'm on the other end, you know, I'm just like, Lord, you know, that's not my portion. So talk to me about being a pastor's wife and what was that like? Because even though you've always had a relationship with God, it's a case of having a relationship with God is one thing, going to church, even being married to a minister is one thing, but a pastor? Tell me about that, a pastor's wife.
Let me just say, it was nothing I ever, ever, ever aspired to, nor did I ever think I would be a pastor's wife, nor did I ever really, you know, like I said, want to be a pastor's wife. But That is the lot that, you know, God laid in my lap, and I embraced it. It's challenging. When we got married in 2001, we were only at the church in Maryland for about a year. Okay. And then we moved to Miami, mm-hmm. and with the church here in Miami. And it was a very challenging assignment, I would say, that God put us in. The church was, you know, going through challenges, and we went through challenges the whole time we were there. It was, you know, like battle after battle after battle. It was just spiritual warfare, basically. But you know, so a lot of good things came out of it. I enjoyed it, but it was just challenging. It was hard work and working on my own too. A lot of pastors' wives maybe work in the church or for the church. I did not. I always had a full-time job outside of the church. So that means I was working during the day, going to meetings in the evenings at least two or three times a week, and then doing Bible studies and, you know, help leading the women's ministry and, you know, doing things just, you know, going with my husband on to visit the sick and shut in. So it was like a second full-time job, actually. But I enjoyed it. I embraced it. I knew God had called me to do that, so I embraced it, and even the challenges. So it was, I'm thankful for it, but also thankful that I don't have to do that anymore. No, just everything is for a reason or a season, you know, and that season I think is past. So, but I'm thankful for the experience, even though it was challenging and difficult, but I met a lot of great people and, you know, got close to a lot of great people, you know, in the church and outside the church. So I'm thankful for it.
And so as a pastor's wife, and I'm going to be very honest here. So, you know, you have a lot of people that talk about, and I've heard this a lot in the last few years, church hurt. Mm-hmm. Have you ever experienced that?
As I said, there were many, many, many challenges and battles that we had. And yes, church hurt is real. However, I firmly believe that, you know, you have to really, if you experience church hurt, and I think everybody that goes to church does, because church is basically family, mm-hmm. if you look at it. However, if your relationship, if you're there for the right reasons, okay, if you're there to worship and serve God, then, you know, you can, you know, hopefully get past the church hurt. But if you're there for any other reason, like you're looking to stand out as a leader or be, you know, chosen to do this or to do that, and you need, you know, some attention, or you need, or you're looking for a husband or a wife, or you're looking for something that is really not a pure motive for being there, right, then the church hurt will, you know, it can take you out, you know, and cause you to want to leave that church, you know, if you're not there for the right reason. Yeah. Because let me say, everybody experiences church hurt. I mean, we all you know, go through something where someone has either said something to us that was unkind, or done something, or that we know about or didn't know about and found out about it later. But, you know, and I've had people say and do things that were very hurtful in, you know, in meetings, you know, about me or, you know, about my family or whatever. But I knew why I was there. I knew my mission. I knew my calling. So I did not let that, get me to the fact that get me to a point where I wanted to just either lash out or, you know, just give up, because I knew that, you know, God had a reason for me there, and in all things God works together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. So yeah. That is one of my favorite scriptures. I keep that in the back of my mind, and that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So God strengthened me to get through that time period, and you know, it's challenging and it was difficult, but, you know, I just thank God for it, because it also taught me many lessons as well.
Okay, because, you know, thinking about it when you say that, because if you don't have the temperament for it, then I think church hurt, like you said, it could cause you to lash out. Because speaking like from my own experience, I recall there's been times when I've been offended in church, and my first reaction is to say, listen, And I, you know, want to really, and I would want to lash out verbally and just tell them something and just like, okay, Jesus, stop listening for a minute. I have to say something. So it's, you know, to your point, it's like we do all experience it, but it's your relationship with God and how you handle it. And you have to have and like I've said, and I've always admired you because you have to have a special grace in to be a pastor's wife.
Well, let me just add this caveat too. I thank you for that. I work harder trying to, you know, keep my spirit where it needs to be. But I did have to have some tough conversations, you know, during my period as a pastor's wife with a few people. So it wasn't, you know, I tried not to, you know, God gave me a word one time that says, be strategic and not emotional.
Wow. Okay.
So when you can be strategic about what you're saying and how you say it and not emotional about it, then you really have impact. Yeah. When you become emotional, you're taking yourself down to the level of the other person who's probably being emotional as well. And not to say that, you know, you can always get there and not, you know, you had to work at it and not always hit the mark, but you know, I just try to remember if I'm in a situation, you know, just be strategic and not emotional about the situation. Yeah. But I try.
That actually is very powerful. And I remember, if I think back, that happened to me once. And that's when I was going through challenges in my first marriage, where it was a case of, it was really like, looking back on it, I had to wonder, who was that person? Because I'm normally that will get up in your face. But it was like, what was the word that was given to me at the time is operate from a place of logic and not emotion. So every time he would come at me and say something, I wouldn't get in my feelings about it. I would just be calm and logical. And I think that actually probably drove him nuts because he was expecting. And you know, sometimes what it is when somebody's coming for you or they're coming at you, it's a case of the whole butting heads thing. So it's because they're in an emotional state, they've probably got themselves worked up and expecting you to come back at them in that way. And because you haven't, it's almost like you've unnerved them.
Yep, you disarm them. That's what it is. You know, their strategies and tricks and fiery darts from Satan are just disarmed when you don't act in a retaliatory way.
Yeah. So that's interesting that you say that. And it's that's actually very, very powerful. And I think if more people stopped and thought that way, a lot of arguments would never happen.
This is true. You know, it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy, but if you can, you know, in your state, just remember, you know, to try to be strategic, because that way you can think better. You know, when you're strategic, you can hear from God, hear from the Holy Spirit, like, okay, this is what you need to say, this is how you need to say it. But when you're just shooting off and, you know, and saying whatever comes in your mind, then that's, you know, you're not listening.
But then that's very interesting. So now your journey as a pastor's wife, that part in your journey has come to an end. How do you feel about that?
The Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't want to scream too loud, but I just want to say praise the Lord. I mean, and like I said, it was a journey, and I enjoyed it for the most part, but it was just also very, it took a lot of energy and strength just because it was just nonstop, you know, you're working full time and then doing that, you know, on weekends. Cause you know, if you think about it, every weekend, basically, you know, we have church every Sunday and other activities on Saturday. So I really, really did not really get a day off. It was just hard to, you know, very rarely did I get, you know, a full Saturday off. So I'm thankful for now having a little more time, even though nature abhors a vacuum. So, you know, there's really not a whole lot of, even now, not a whole lot of time. So,
okay. So let's move on to your journey as Clarissa, the businesswoman, because we've spoken about the mother, the pastor's wife, the ministry. Let's talk about the businesswoman. So talk to us, and we've learned a little bit about that you being a teacher, but commercial real estate. So, and like you said, your family, you gave up a solid, regular income, because if we, you know, if we think about it, teachers are always going to be needed. Right. So to go into commercial real estate where you were just commission based. So, and I'll be interested to know, what did your family say to you about that?
Oh, it wasn't just my family. It was like, even members at that time, members of the church, like, I can't believe you gave up, you know, gave up a teaching job, because a lot of the people in the congregation were teachers. So, but yeah, no, I actually, and let me tell you what really, I guess, made me make the decision to make the change is that we were doing purpose-driven life, Bible study during that time. And so, you know, God, once again, I got a word. So look, if you're going to, you know, talk the talk, you need to walk the walk. You know, do you have faith in me or not? Okay. So I knew that I, you know, wanted to get out of teaching, but you know, you get, you're in a comfort zone. You're getting a check every
day. Yeah.
You know, you're going to work, you're off on evenings, you're off on the weekends. So, you know, yeah, I can collect a check for however many years, but that is not what God was calling me to do. So I said, okay, I had been in commercial real estate for a short period in Louisville before I left there. And I knew I wanted to go back to that. So I just decided to, you know, while I was teaching, study for the real estate exam, which I did. I took it and passed it in November of 2005. And then at the end of the year, 2005, I quit teaching in the middle of the school year. And then I didn't even wait till the end of the school year. I quit in December of 2005 and joined a boutique firm here in Miami in January of January of 2006. So I just knew that that's something I had to do. And it was, once again, it was challenging. It was stressful, not knowing when you're going to get paid or how much you're going to get paid. My family, my husband and I, to really, you know, look at our budget, look at our expenses, and it was tough, and still is tough. It's tough right now, and I'm still doing commercial real estate. Mm-hmm. COVID-19, you know, things have slowed down a little bit, but God, you know, like my pastor says, my pastor now, my new church says that, you know, God is the source of our resources, mm-hmm. not my company, you know, not, you know, my personal company, not anywhere you get your paycheck. You know, if it were not for God, you would not be getting a paycheck. You would not be doing deals. So mm-hmm. God is the source of our resources. And when you look to God, then God will send resources from unexpected places.
Yeah, 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 yes.
You know, that is what has gotten me through. And you know, a lot of breakthroughs, a lot of, I say it's just a faith walk. It's an every single day faith walk, because you never know, you know, when you're going to get paid or how much you're going to get paid. So it's a faith walk to go out, get up every day and do the work, even though, you know, you may not get paid for another 2 months or so. Wow. So truly been a faith journey, which God has truly blessed me with, I should say.
Oh, wow. And so talk to us about your personal company.
Yes, this is another thing that I'm hoping at some point in the very near future that I can do full time, because I think I'm, you know, almost ready to stop being a broker in terms of commercial real estate and start owning real estate now as an investor, mm-hmm. and earn some passive income, and then, you know, launch my business, Naima Productions, full time. I've been doing it part time and in the background, I guess, for, I really relaunched in, I got the word once again from God in 2013 that I was actually at Jacksonville Jazz Festival, sitting outside listening to a Rochelle Farrell concert. I will never forget. And I just, God said, look, this is what you're supposed to be doing. I'm like, really? So, but from that point forward, I just decided, even though I had started the company in New Orleans in 1992, once I moved to Washington, D.C. area, metro area, I really didn't do much with it. And, you know, came to Miami and since 2002, didn't do much with it. But then, you know, it was in my spirit that I have to do it. And if I don't do it now, I won't do it. So I call it Naima Productions 2.0, you know, in 2000, you know, relaunched in 2014. And been working at it ever since. And it's just been amazing, the journey that, you know, God has just led me on with that, and just with the opportunities and the breakthroughs, and they're still coming, and they're still, hoping and praying bigger things to come, because God has given me some ideas even now, you know, to help me take it, because you know, what I do, I'm an artist manager and a booking agent. And so one of my clients now that I'm working with, mainly Rochelle Lightfoot, we had a event plan called Love, Jazz, and Soul, you know, where, you know, she's a full concert with a celebrity chef, you know, 5-course meal, you know, dinner, dancing. We did it 2 years ago. And it was scheduled for June 21st, this coming Sunday. This coming Sunday. So, but due to COVID-19, we had to cancel it. So as you can imagine, as you know, a lot of entertainment concerts, big concerts, little concerts, and, you know, venues, events have been canceled. So God, I just asked the Lord, so, okay, this is what you're calling me to do, but, you know, what are we going to do now? You know, now that COVID is here, we're stuck inside. So he gave me, I don't want to give it away just yet, but he sent me a strategy, you know, to make it work. So I'm in the process of working on a project that, you know, can be done virtually. So, you know, hopefully I can be able to launch it soon and announce it soon. I'm, you know, still in the, you know, incubation stages, but, you know, working on getting my website updated to, you know, reflect the, what, you know, what I'm working on. But I'm excited because I love music. I have always loved music. My father was a DJ when I was younger. And actually, he was portrayed in the movie Ray, you know. So, yeah, he was very small. He was not in the movie, but his character was portrayed in the movie Ray.
Okay.
So, but anyway, music has been in my spirit, in my system for many years. Like I said, I know music, have played instruments, but I'm not a professional musician. Mm-hmm. But I knew I want to work in the music industry, so I decided to work on the business side of music. With artist management and booking agency.
Okay, so with regard, I know that you're working on a strategy that you don't want to give it away, but outside of that strategy, when COVID lifts, I'm saying when, because I believe it will, when it lifts, what next is for Naima Productions? Because one of the things that I truly believe is there's many people that they have a full-time job, but the thing that they're doing on the side is actually really their passion and their calling. Yep. So what is it, what steps are you taking? What is it that you're doing? What's next for you that can, that you believe can really be that thing that pushes you over to be able to say, okay, commercial real estate, you are now the part-time.
Well, you know, I try to do everything I do to glorify God, first of all. That's what I do. I try to glorify God with everything I do. So and with that, you have to be, I believe in being a professional, in professionalism in everything I do. So when COVID lifts, I just want to, you know, help Rochelle get her career back on track. You know, we're looking at doing Love, Jazz, and Soul, rescheduling that. Love, Jazz, and Soul, hopefully. Don't know if it's going to happen this year now. Looks like we may have another, you know, outbreak or whatever, so maybe 2021, but also look to take on more clients to book and to manage, you know, so I can do it full time, to get a team, you know, to get a another partner and someone that, you know, just a team around me to the, that allows me to go out and get business and do the business where I don't have to do all the administrative work. So right now it's just me, I'm it, you know, I'm doing everything. Yeah. It needs to be done and enjoying it, you know, and I try to work at something about the business every single day. You know, I believe in, you know, that you just have to put one foot in front, like they say, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So I believe in, you know, just doing something toward your business every day, whether it's just making one phone call or one email or reading one article or reading something about the business, but you have to really put in, like you said, the 10,000 hours in order be successful. So I'm really, you know, focused in on that, because I believe that, you know, the time is now, time is short, you know, we know these are the last and evil days. So, you know, but if you, I don't want to get in heaven and God say, you know, look at all these gifts that I had for you that you didn't, you know, use, that you didn't, you know, that you didn't utilize, or you didn't, you know, gain access to. I had all this for you. And I read something on Facebook that says, you know, and this sticks in my mind all the time, what if it actually works?
Yeah. I remember I read something similar and it said, what would you do if you knew it wouldn't, what would you do if you knew it wouldn't fail?
Yeah.
And I just, you know what would I do? And then, and it's amazing that the whole list of things that came to mind, that, and I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do, and then I took that step back and like, okay, so what would you do? You would do all those things if you had a guarantee that it would succeed. But which one of those are you actually doing?
That's it. So I want to know if it, you know, I'm stepped out on faith before. I want to step out on faith again. God has brought me thus far. I don't think he's going to leave me now. So I want to see, you know, how far I can take it, you know, how big it can go. And even if it doesn't get big, if I can just earn a living, you know, doing Naima Productions, I will be eternally thankful because, you know, I love what I do. I love music. I love musicians. I love working with musicians. I love the entertainment industry. It's tough. It's harder. It's you know, very, I'm sure, just even more challenging than being, you know, in the ministry, you know, pastor or whatever. But, you know, if it were easy, everybody would do it. So I look forward to the challenge.
And so there's the one question, but it's going to be in three parts. So a young lady that's probably just gone through a divorce and got children, what would you tell her? And then a young lady that found herself as a pastor's wife and she's new in it, what would you tell her? And then a young lady that has a business and has a dream and an idea that wants to get off the ground, what would you tell her? Because you've covered your life, you know, women, you're a woman in business and ministry, but also a wife and a mother. So that's so many different hats. And then you're probably going to find some young women nowadays that just feel a bit overwhelmed with having to do all of those things. What would you tell and speak to and tell those women? What encouragement could you give them?
So the first one was a young mother, you said?
Yeah. Mother. Just gone and found herself like going through a divorce, and it doesn't even have to be divorce. It could be that she was widowed or something, but finds herself by herself with her children.
Well, you know, I believe, you know, God first and then family. So that's why actually when I moved to New Orleans, I had a job. When I got there, I was assistant manager of Ann Taylor store, but then I also got a job at a bank. As a loan officer, but I realized that, you know, both of those jobs, my children, we have to, you know, have babysitters a lot because they were long hours and hours that were not, you know, incongruent with their school schedule. So I made the choice to go back to school, in New Orleans, get my master's degree and start teaching because I wanted to make sure my children had the foundation that they needed to, you know, be who God called them to be, and grow up and, you know, be successful. So I, you know, took a step back from what I knew I wanted to do and do what I felt like I had to do so I could just be there for them, you know. So it was challenging. You know, I tell you, my paycheck teaching in New Orleans was like about, at one point, about $840 every 2 weeks, you know, back in the 90s, you know, in the early 90s. So it was very, very challenging to try to make it work, but God saw us through. And so I would just say, you know, make sure you keep God first always. And then, you know, keep your family, you know, focus on your children and what their needs are. And I mean, not to say not to focus on yourself, but because you have to put the master in yourself first, but you do need to make sure your children have the you know, the foundation in the relationship with you. You know, I mean, not every mother can do that. Some mothers have to work two and three jobs. I'm not saying that, and I did. I worked a couple of jobs, but one thing I try to do every day is we had dinner together every day. We sat down at the table and had dinner every day. So I think that was, and we did certain things together. You know, we went to church every Sunday. We had certain traditions that we did at certain times of the year. You know, we would go to Jazz Fest during the spring. We would go hear the Messiah at Dillard University, you know, during Christmas season. So you just make make a concerted effort at some point to be there for your children, you know, not just kind of leave them at the hands of other people or themselves, you know, a lot. So I think that is what advice I would give to a young single mother, you know, do the best you can to, you know, do what you can to be with them and to guide them. The second question was?
A young lady that's now found herself as a pastor's wife.
Yes, yes.
Or as they say over here, first lady.
First lady, yes. So I would say just once again, keep God first, pray, and I pray that, and I do want to give, you know, a kudos to my husband because he had the right priorities. You know, it was God first, then me, then the family, then the church. Okay. So a lot of pastors don't see things that way. Mm. A lot of pastors will put the church before everybody else, you know, not God, the church. Mm. So in that instance, you know, it was very helpful because, you know, the church did not, as I say, could not come between us. You know, we were not going to allow the church and the church issues to come between us because we knew that what our priorities were. Mm. So make sure that, you know, prayerfully, their pastor and you and the pastor's wife have their priorities together, you know, and they're on one accord about their priorities, because if you're not, that's going to be challenging.
Mm. And that's inviting trouble, isn't it?
Big trouble. Big trouble. If your husband is always, you know, visiting this, you know, this church member, that church member is always gone and never at home, then what's left? You know, I mean, and there's sometimes when that did happen, but it wasn't on a regular basis. So a lot of pastors' wives are lonely because they're, you know, their husbands spend all their time at church or dealing with other church members and not their family. So you want to make sure that there is some alignment there as to what, you know, expectations are and what the priorities are. And then I would also say do your best to find a mentor that's a, you know,
that's interesting.
Yeah, a seasoned first lady that you know or respect. And, you know, you need to watch in first because not everybody needs to be your mentor. Not every first lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you need to really watch that person and watch their relationship, you know, with the church and their family and their husband and see if there's someone that you can, you know, glean from or learn from on how to deal with issues. But also someone to talk to because it's very lonely. You know, you really can't make, and we made a decision coming to Miami that we were not going to become friends with any of our church members because that invites trouble. Now, you know, we were able to do that, and there was one couple that we became close to, but really for the most part, we weren't quote unquote friends with any of the other church members because, you know, my husband was the shepherd. So you can't, you know, the sheep and the shepherd cannot truly be friends. You know, the shepherd is the leader. And so we made that. So it got kind of lonely because, you know, just for example, we never got invited to not one Super Bowl party here, you know.
Oh, wow.
You know, no one wants to invite your pastor over to invite you drink, you know, and get drunk Super Bowl Sunday. So we used to laugh about that because we never were invited to Super Bowl parties. But, you know, other activities, yes, but Super Bowl, no. But, so.
It makes you wonder why. It's like, what about the Super Bowl? Why nobody...
Because they drink. This, you know, you don't want your pastor watching you get drunk. That's why. That's, you know, Super Bowl is just mainly about drinking and watching football. So,
okay. Makes sense. Makes sense.
Pastor over there when you're partying hard like that, you know.
Mm.
Or if we did go to parties and things like that, you know, everybody would be nice and polite and all that, you know, while we were there. But I'm sure as soon as we left, the party got started.
Turn up, right?
You know, and turn out. So, so yeah, so I would just say, you know, just try to find a mentor because it can be lonely. You know, Ashley's wife can be a lonely journey. But I would say also make sure you have your life. You have a life. You know, don't live vicariously through your husband or through the church. Make sure you have a life. Make sure you know what God is calling you to do as an individual because you have something in your spirit that God wants you to do too. So just make sure you're in tune with that.
Yeah, know who you are as a person, as an individual, because I suppose the danger could be, and I think it could go for everything really, that women especially it's like they forget who they are. Because if you ask them, so who are you? They say, oh, wife, mother, first lady. It's like, no, that's what you do. Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. And the last one was, what would you tell a young person that's got dreams and ideas of wanting to go into business, but they've got the full-time job there, and it's like, what do I do that for? I feel like my passion is to do this, but the full-time job takes up so much time. What would you encourage somebody in that situation to do?
Yeah, I mean, because I'm still in that situation. So I would say, you know, yes, I really want to do my business full-time, but one person told me, a friend of mine told me, is that you have to have a runway. Okay, an airplane just doesn't jump up out of the sky. You just don't go from zero to 30,000 feet just straight up. You know, you have to have a runway to help you take off. Mm-hmm. So that's what we look at what I look at, and other people I've read on Facebook and Instagram too. You know, you have to, you know, work your full-time job, you know, until you can get to the point where, you know, you have enough money saved up, mm-hmm. that you have expenses, I would say, for maybe 6 months to a year, because, you know, when you have a startup business, it doesn't always, you know, nothing ever works out like you plan it to. You know? Yeah. Plans in the world, but you want to make sure you're comfortable enough when you quit your job that you can sustain yourself, because you're setting yourself up for failure. Mm. I would say, you know, continue to do, you know, work at your job, and then work, you know, come home and work a few hours on your business until you know that you have, you know, either you know, some business that can really, you can count on, or that you have enough money saved up, like I said, 12 months to a year, I mean, six to 12 months of expenses that can carry you while you're, you know, taking off on your business. A lot of people fail because they take off too soon. Oh yeah, I know I'm meant to do this. This is my business. I'm going to quit my job today. Well, no, you know, just really need to make sure you're ready, because, you don't want to, you know, if you want to fail, yeah, go ahead and quit your job now and do it full time. But, you know, it may not be, you know, the right time. Timing is everything. Mm-hmm. You know, you really consult with God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus, and like, you know, Lord, when is the right time? When is the time for me to do this? And, you know, let they guide you as well. You know, maybe God is telling you to do it now. Maybe he will take you, you know, lift you up like that. With God, all things are possible, but just make sure you're discerning, you know, what you're being called to do and how and when you're being called to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember I met a young lady, my goodness, probably about 4 years ago now. I don't know where the time flies. I was going to say 2 years ago, but I realized it was when I was still working, you and I were still working together, and that was over 4 years ago. And I met this young lady, and she was at her wit's end, didn't know what to do. And she had moved from, I think it was somewhere like Michigan. And she said, I believe God told me to move to Florida. And so she packed up. She had no job in Florida, nowhere to live, just put whatever could fit in her car and drove, and then was depressed and in a mess because she was struggling. She had no money or anything like that. So it's important what you're saying. It's that really resonated with me. A plane doesn't literally just go from the ground up into the air. There's a runway, it's a process, and make sure you can sustain yourself. And I think that's the danger that some people fall into. Like, God told me. Like, yeah, but God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of order. And you know what? There may be some people, like you said, that God says, you know what? I need you to get up and go and do this now, and I'm going to provide for you. But to be honest, for the most part, it's a case of God will put something in you, I believe, and give you the strategy to go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that you say that. It just reminded me of that young lady that I had met all those years ago. And she was just like crying out for help, needed help, wanted help. And I just said to her that, you sure that's what God told you to do?
Yeah, it's, you know, you have to really be discerning, and then, you know, not be discouraged when it doesn't happen just as fast as you think it should happen. You know, I want it to happen yesterday. I'm ready to do this now. Personally, I am. I want to do it now. But, you know, I know I'm not ready at this point to just you know, just lift off. So I have to continue what I do for, you know, a little while longer. And I'm hoping and praying that, you know, this new project I'm working on will be a vehicle for me to do it full time. So we shall see.
And we pray that for you, Clarissa. We do pray that for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Clarissa, thank you for being my guest here on Conversations with Alison Jay, The Journey to Here. We just hope and pray for all the best for you in your future projects, your business, Naima Productions, and just in life. So thank you so much, Clarissa.
Thank you, Alison Jay, Alison, the Jay Group. This has been a blessing, and I do hope and pray that, you know, someone can benefit from my experiences and, you know, the varied experiences that I've had. So I hope, you know, that you and I both have been a blessing, or will be a blessing to someone through the conversation that we've had today. So that is my prayer. And I pray for you, especially as well, as you embark on your journey of entrepreneurship. So, you know, I lift you up in prayer every day. So
thank you so much.
You're very determined. You're very capable. And, you know, I just it's been, I thank God, put you in my path. So I'm thankful for you.
Thank you so much. I thank you. Thank God for you. And I, you know that I love you. You know I do. And I'm just very excited for where Naima Productions is going. And I'm looking forward to the day when I'm driving and I'm seeing things on billboards with Naima Productions. Yes. And I can just say, yes, I know her. And when I'm even attending some of your events. So that's going to be very, very exciting. Very exciting.
And look out for God's ears, and believe me, God will keep you posted every step of the way.
Yes, please do. Please, and you know what? And then come back on Conversations with Alison Jay and let us know how you're getting on. And so you know, when the time when you're so big, we're gonna have to book you months in advance to be able to come on.
Yeah, never for you, Alison. Whatever you need, you know I'm here.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much. All righty, thanks a lot, Clarissa, and we will speak soon.
Okay.
Okay, take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Naima Productions, LLC.
Thank you for spending time with us. We're already looking forward to the next episode of This is Conversations with Alison Jay, The Journey to Here. Until next time, honor, respect, and blessings to you all. If you want to connect, visit alisonjay.net. That's AlisonJaye.net. Alison with one L, as she is the one and only.